everyone, welcome to episode 50 of Tea in the Treetops podcast. I'm Annie.
And I'm Philippa, and this is the official podcast of the Tea in the Treetops book review blog. Today is Monday and it's January 23rd.
In 2017.
I know.
Oh my gosh, happy new year.
This is our first 2017 one, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Yes, okay, exciting.
This, congratulations to us because in this episode, it's our 50th episode. We're going to have a little celebration of actually making it to 50 episodes.
I'm pretty impressed that we made it to 50 episodes. Does it feel like 50 episodes?
No, it doesn't. Oh, it does to me because I've just been listening to them.
Okay.
But anyway, we're also going to take a look at some of the fantasy and sci-fi books that are coming out in the first half of this year and have a chat about what we've been reading, including Heartless by Marissa Meyer.
Yes.
Okay, so first up, it's our 50th episode, as I've already said, and we're having a giveaway.
Hooray!
Yay! Basically, later in this episode, we're going to be talking about a whole bunch of fantasy and sci-fi books that are coming out in the first half of 2017.
That we've picked as our it reads, basically.
So we're going to give away to one lucky winner a pre-order of one of those books on the list. Mm-hmm. You can find a full list of all the books that we are going to talk about on the post for this episode at teaandthetreetops.com.
Yeah.
Or if it's a book that's already come out in January, you just get a copy of it up front. And I think there will also be a second prize for an item from Society 6 to the value of $15. So for that price, you can usually get things like little pouches, mugs, sometimes pillows, depending on how much they are.
And amazing rice and
there
necklaces.
Are so many different designs on there for book lovers. So
on there recently.
Really? Oh, yes. I have a feeling you're going to be getting some rice and stuff sooner or later.
How sad is that?
It's not sad. So anyway, yeah, to enter, all you need to do is go to this post, the post for this episode on teaandthetreetops.com, and there'll be a raffle cop to form there that you can use to enter. So good luck.
Excellent.
I've had a look back through all of our episodes, and I put together a little highlights package, if you will.
A
celebration
reel
of what we've been up to over 50 episodes. So let's have a listen. It goes for about 10 minutes or so. I hope you enjoy it.
In early 2013, Annie and Philippa got together to chat about the books that they were reading. Now, 50 episodes and several years later, we're still sharing our reading lives with you. To start with, we often recorded with our baby daughters in the room. They weren't always quiet.
We've been up to lots of stuff. You may be able to hear in the background some babies talking. I may or may not come, but hopefully it'll be on when I can take Maddie on to the
movies.
Yes, Maddie. That's
sorry, my lovely daughter Madeline's getting into book reviewing, and
she's telling us all about what she thought of Divergent.
Yes.
What did you think, Maddie?
I think Evie's telling my story for me.
What's Evie been reading?
I think she's been reading That's Not My Monkey.
Oh. My little one quiet long enough to talk.
No, now she's going to laugh at me.
Since then, we've had a great time putting the podcast together, but things don't always go to plan.
Yeah, it was good. Oh God, Madeline. Sorry, you're going to have to edit that out too. You find the one thing that you can't have, something tiny.
And I think people don't realise that I just totally lost my train of thought. It's need more sleep.
Just to edit it out, I'm just going to say this is f***ing annoying me. I cannot work out how to turn the sound of this mouse down now, and it's really pissing me off.
This episode of Tea in the Treetops podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download.
Get a free audiobook download and 30 days free trial at audio.
I'll say, I think I'm okay
at audible
now.
At
audibletrial.com/teatrop.
Teatops.
Treetops.
And sometimes we wander away from the important issues.
The highlight of the movie is the fact that Hugh Jackman is naked in it.
But Belle is my favourite Disney princess. I'll let Navy by Ariel.
I'm not sure I'd be ready to commit to that, like to any one of them. I do love Belle. I think she's great. But I
always love the Sleeping Beauty. Sorry, not the Sleeping Beauty. The Beauty and the Beast.
Well, I'd have to see a full list to make my proper decision, but.
Can I make this clear? We have not been drinking before we started making this podcast. Although we
Don't
might need one that. Afterwards.
Don't say that. Pretend we have been, because otherwise I'll think we're like this all the time.
We are like this all the time. What are you talking about? It was just such a juxtaposition, as people for you.
There were
tentacles in that. You're going to love this book, Jo.
I never said I was into tentacles sexually.
No, too late.
I want to be clear. Jo from my friend is not into tentacle sexual. It's like a zombie over a tentacle.
Ah, that is so going in.
Thank you for letting us share our geeky obsessions with you.
That's the other thing I've done since the last time. Got into Doctor Who and become a bit of an obsessive Doctor Who fan. So.
There's a series of quite a few short stories from Doctor Who, and if you've been listening to the podcast at all recently, you might have guessed by now that I'm a bit tragic Doctor Who fan at the moment.
I swear every time we do a podcast you've got another Doctor Who
No,
something.
I haven't, no. This is the first time, this is a different one as well. I've got
you've always got like a short story or a graphic novel.
I know, I just can't. I'm addicted to them.
One of these days I'm going to watch them all.
Yeah, well, my very sad other hobby at the moment is I've gotten completely re-addicted to World of Warcraft.
It's not sad. It's a thing that we like to do.
It is. But I see how much time I take just going, I'll just pop on to my garrison. And
let's get into Game of Thrones a bit then. So we'll just start by saying that Philly and I are like super excited for this new season to come out. And
I'm already addicted to it. It hasn't even started. But all this advertising hype, it's working. It's really working. Yes. I'm hyped.
And joining us today, we are super pleased to welcome back to the show Australia's favourite author and Game of Thrones super fan, Isabel Carmody. Welcome back.
Thank you. The dwarf lives until we find a cock merchant.
I do feel that at the end of this whole thing is going to be this group of women standing around all the dead bodies of their menfolk going, what have we done?
But the other TV show I've been watching, Merlin.
Oh,
I've
yes,
never really
yes.
watched Merlin when
no,
it was
I
on.
No, I never watched it either.
And I watched like maybe one episode and I have been binge watching it. I can't stop watching it. It's so good.
I should have mentioned it before while we were talking about movies and stuff, but I just finished watching Merlin. The feels. Oh, the ending is just really sad. But anyway, if you've watched it and you know what I'm talking about, and it's just really good. I loved it. I've got a new fandom.
You didn't need any new fandoms.
I know. My Pinterest can't cope with any more fandoms.
And we are going to have a Harry Potter extravaganza today to celebrate our love of Harry Potter.
Yes.
Not him personally, but, you know, the books.
The series. And if you think about it, it's funny because book three to me was when I realised I didn't just like the series. I was seriously addicted to this series because I found myself, I don't know what anybody else is like, when I'm really liking something, especially in a climactic part, I can't help myself, I start reading too fast and I'm skipping and I have to go back.
I do that too, I don't know about the fan fiction stuff, but if you're interested in fan art, I've got a Pinterest board where I've pinned a whole lot of it.
Nice.
Cornelius Fudge, who was just a...
He was an idiot. Yeah. He was a bad guy.
Yeah, just a victim
who
of
didn't
the
think
times,
he was
I think.
A bad guy. He was like the Tony Abbott of the of the Harry Potter world.
Actually, lately I haven't been reading quite as much because I have really been getting hooked and obsessed with Supernatural. Carry on my wayward son.
There'll be peace when you are done.
So Netflix has got 9 seasons and
that's still a lot.
Okay, so I've been watching it for about 5 weeks now.
You've got
and
to
I'm up to season 6.
Oh my goodness. haven't been reading a lot because I'm like
deeply hooked into Supernatural. Like, I cannot stop watching. It's really, really good.
God, okay, all right. Yeah. What about to have a complete hangover?
No, well, it's going to be hard. Like, I've watched like 10 seasons in like 2 months or something. So I've been watching it every day. It's terrible. I can't.
10 years worth of Supernatural.
I know. I feel like Sam and Dean have grown up before my eyes because they were in their early 20s when the series started.
Dude, no. Dude, yes.
But we've met a lot of amazing authors and we've had a few special guests on our show.
And this week we'd like to welcome a special guest, Paula Weston.
Hello.
Award-winning and best-selling Australian author Kate Forsyth. Hello.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Hi, Australian readers. I'm Sarah J. Mass, the author of the Throne of Glass and ACOTAR series, and I'm here at Supernova in Brisbane.
I'm really pleased and honoured to have with us one of our favourite Australian authors, Isabel Carmody. Hello.
Thank you for having me.
Hi, I'm Alison Goodman, author of Lady Helen and the Dark Days Club, and you're listening to Tea in the Treetops podcast.
Hi, I'm Cassandra Clare.
And I'm Holly Black.
And you're listening to the Tea in the Treetops podcast.
We've really enjoyed sharing the books we loved or occasionally didn't love with you.
By the time this is up there, people will probably be really over it, but I'm still in major book hangover mode from Queen of Shadows.
Yeah.
Like,
it took me a long time to get over it.
Firstly,
as well.
I've barely read anything because I reread Throne of Glass, Crown of Midnight, Air of Fire, and then I read Queen of Shadows, and I read them all in a row, and that's basically all I've done since we podcasted last.
Now, on from that flop, I then read the most fantastic book that I'm just gushing about, and you must read it.
Yeah.
And that's Snow Like Ashes by debut author Sarah Rush, I think is how you pronounce her surname. It's a fantasy, it is the next Throne of Glass, it is just awesome.
But the book that I did just sit down and read was Endsinger by J. Christoph, which is
the final?
Third book in that Storm Dancer trilogy. Oh my god, just amazing. It was brilliant. Oh my god, how can I put this down? So I didn't. I sat there 3 hours later, I finished it and I was like, oh my god, I'm broken.
I then went on and I read A Court of Thorns and Roses, which I won't talk too much because we're going to review that later. Mm-hmm. Another one that was great. In saying that, I think this will be an interesting joint review because I absolutely loved this book. Absolutely loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
And I didn't... I enjoyed it, but I have reservations about it.
You enjoyed it, but...
Book 3 in the Refable series. I really love this series. It's just... great. I didn't know want it to end ever. Every time I read one of the books, I can't believe it's the end. I talked about last episode was The Cracks in the Kingdom by Jacqueline Moriarty.
Which I was quite interested in.
Yeah, it was great. I loved it. Really, really good.
I was just going to say, I got totally hooked on Jacqueline Moriarty's A Corner of
Glass. Oh, good.
What are you
reading? I'm glad you're reading it.
I just finished it. I'm like, what? It's over already. I need more. So
now finished it already?
I've been listening to it to and from the car. Going to bed.
Oh, I loved it. So highly recommend that series.
I'm going to try and finish it by the weekend because when I go away on the plane, I am definitely going to take A Court of Mist and Fury with me. Sarah J. Maas.
This weekend is sounding like my dream. I'm not allowed to participate in. It's probably a good thing I'm not going to be there to pester you and talk on the plane.
Yeah, let's when I'm trying reading, I'm like, go away, I'm up to the Rise End bit.
What are we talking about today? A Court of Mist and Fury, finally.
Yes.
Okay, so I say this often when I get book hangovers, but I really, really got a big book hangover with this book in the fact that when I finished reading it, I went back to about the halfway point, I just picked a page and I read it again. And then I picked up the original Thorns and Roses, and I thought, I'll start reading this. And I was like, no, this is getting a bit too ridiculous. I'm taking things too far. I need to take a deep breath and at least sleep on it before I start reading it again. Rice Hand was just amazing.
Yes.
It was amazing. To borrow my daughter's phrase, I didn't just like it. I loved it.
But I read The Raven Boys.
Yes.
And I loved it. So good. Just walked out of a cinema after seeing Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
I thought it was a steaming pile of crap.
It was really bad. It was so bad that I laughed a lot. A lot. There's a lot of tears of laughter. Now, I listened to the selection by Kira Cass at your suggestion.
Hey, look, while I was running around. I'm just going to put it out there. I never said it was quality literature. I'm going to just put it out there. I have no regrets. And I got more and more hooked as I went.
Sadly, I have regrets. The other book I read, yes, especially after meeting the most awesome author, Alison Goodman.
Yep.
And that was Lady Helen and the Dark Days Club.
Yeah.
And it was fabulous. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks so much for listening.
So thanks for listening and for sharing 50 episodes with us. So I think I should say at this point that after all this time, the music that we use in our episodes is by composer Bart Stoop. I'm not sure if I said that in the first time we used it, which was like episode 3 or 4.
You did.
But we got permission to use it from Bart, so thank you very much. We still love it, and we'll keep using it. That's okay. And I have to say thank you to you, Philly, for sharing 50 episodes with me.
I've got the warm fuzzies after listening to that.
We have a lot of fun talking about all books we love. So here's to another 50.
There's a definite trend. There's a definite trend of fandoms and science fiction and fantasy.
Yeah, I need to stop watching TV.
Your obsessions.
Yeah,
that's all right.
Binge watching is my thing these days, anyway.
It's Netflix, man.
Yes, it is. Yes. Definitely. It gets you hooked into something and you just can't stop,
mm-hmm,
as you can tell. Anyway, all right. Well, we better talk about books that are coming up this year.
Sounds good to me.
There's so many.
I'm quite on top of January. I'm just going to put that there.
You are. You've read most of these already.
I know. Or I'm about to start it.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, would you like to begin?
Okay, so, all right, so we're not going to be mentioning every book. We're just mentioning some of the highlights. Is that right?
That's what we've right. got down. And yep. mm-hmm. These are all, I haven't put in the list any contemporary books. They're all just sci-fi or fantasy.
I think we've pretty much ditched the contemporary of late, haven't
yeah.
we?
Yeah. I haven't been reading many.
Yeah. So, okay, so the first one, which came out January 3rd, so about 2 weeks ago now, is Wayfarer, and that's the second to the Passenger series
yep.
by Alexandra Bracken. Now, we actually did a joint review of Passenger in one of our earlier episodes. I don't think we loved it, but we liked it, and I think we both agreed that the cover was amazing.
Yes,
and
the Wayfarer cover is also amazing.
I know, and I was going to say I've been on Bookstagram a bit recently, and I keep seeing Wayfarer, so that may be the subliminal message as to why I have now picked that up and started reading it.
See, it's a good marketing tool, Bookstagram.
It is a good marketing tool. It is. I totally agree. And I literally am like 2% in. So
okay.
I can't make any calls, but I have to admit I can't really remember what happened. So I'm hoping it comes back to me as I read.
So if you haven't read Passenger, it's like kind of like time travel. You go through different portals and you end up in different time periods.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a ruling family of the time traveling people.
Yes. I should know this because I have studied. I think it's Iron Witch or something.
I don't remember that.
Ironwood, I think it might be.
You might be right there. Yeah. So if I remember correctly, the ending was like a big cliffhanger, but I can't actually remember.
I can't remember what the cliffhanger was either, but it was a cliffhanger. Mm. I think it's insinuated that, I don't want to say because I don't want to do any spoilers, but I think... Yeah, you're not sure if everybody's alive at the end or what's happening or if they've gone forever. So I think
I'll have to reread the end of it.
I think, I probably needed a refresher before going into it. But I love the whole time travel, going into all these amazing exotic times and locations. Yeah. That's appealed to me. So if you like the Claudia Gray 10,000 World series, it's sort of similar. That's just parallel worlds instead of through time. But if you like that, you're probably going to like this series too. Yep. And I'm hoping book 2 is a little bit tighter because I think there were some weak spots, if I remember correctly, in the first one. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so next on the list is Wind Witch by Susan Dennard, which was out on the 10th of January, and that is the sequel to Truth Witch.
Yep.
And you have already read this?
I did. I just finished it a couple of days ago.
On the ball.
I am. I read your review copy.
You did.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to read it next.
Thank you very much. And we've both read Truth Witch. I think we both liked it.
I think we did a review of that too.
Yeah, I think we did. And look, I think this one was better than the first book. I think I might have even thought that maybe in the first book, because I listened to it by audiobook, I think that was a deterrent. I think reading it was better because the voices were terrible, if I remember correctly, in the audiobook. And I wasn't even sure if the two girls were actually in a lesbian relationship. It was all over the place. I was a bit confused. Right. I blame it on the audio. So anyway, this one was just a normal straight read, much better.
Okay,
good. And she's good at climactic endings. It was a good, fast-paced, solid end. I liked it.
Good.
Liked it a lot. I think you'll like it too.
Good. Yes. I will be doing that one next.
Yeah. And then so next up, I'm actually halfway through this one as well on audiobook, and that's Carve the Mark by Veronica Roth, which came out on the 17th, so not quite a week ago.
Yep.
I must have got it by fluke. I must have just happened to be on Audible when it came out, and I was like, awesome, I'm going to listen to that next.
Yep.
And look, it's not getting the greatest reviews considering how popular Divergent is. Look, people are always more critical, I think, of quite popular authors.
Yep.
And this one's not getting great reviews. So far, I'm really liking it.
So it's
I'm really liking it. It's not the same sort of a world. It's not a dystopia. It's definitely a sort of space opera. It reminds me a little bit of These Broken Stars, kind of. Do you know what I mean? Okay, like, it's the alternate voices, male, female. I think it's quite good. I think people are being overly critical. That's my personal thoughts. They're looking for fault. Yeah. Anyway, I haven't got to the end yet. Maybe I'll feel it's a flop at the end, but I don't think I will at this point. I think you'll like it too, Miss Annie.
Excellent. Okay. So then we have, not coming out next week on the 31st of January, we've got Caravelle by Stephanie Garber.
I'm so looking forward to this.
Which sounds a lot like Night Circus kind of deal.
That's what it's people keep comparing it to.
People, they go, the girls, two sisters escape their father or something, and they go to a circus and they get stolen away into some kind of game. So, it just sounds really intriguing. I'm really
interested. It's got the most amazing cover. That always I'm sorry. I do judge books by their cover.
Yeah.
And I've been on Bookstagram way too much recently, clearly.
Well, that's coming out in a couple of weeks, so I'll have to try and get a copy of that soon. Also coming out on the 31st, I'll just mention, is the graphic novel from Marissa Meyer, Wires and Nerve, which is about Ico, the android.
Okay, yes. She's a great character.
Yeah, so it's a new story about her. I'm not sure what she's up to in it, but the artwork looks really pretty. I've seen a couple of pictures of it so far. It's not out till the 31st, but I'm going to be trying to grab a copy of that from somewhere. So yeah, looking forward to that one.
Okay, and then lucky last that we've highlighted for January, which comes out again on the 31st, is The Dark Days Pact by Alison Goodman, and that's book two of the Lady Helen series.
So it's actually already out in Australia.
Oh, is it? It is actually, because you've got a copy, don't you?
The Dark Days Pact.
And we absolutely loved the first book.
Yep.
Absolutely loved it. If you like your Jane Austen Regency period type romance with a little bit of supernatural elements, this is just a fantastic book.
Yes.
And fantastic. And don't let the tentacles scare you if you just listen to our 10 minute
I didn't actually mention that was the Lady Helen book that was. Oh,
doesn't it actually
thing.
Say that? Sorry,
no,
I just
but
knew
that's what it was about. Yeah. We were trying to sell it to Joe, and then she read it and she loved it.
She
as
did.
Well, so we did it.
I have high hopes for this one that it's going to still be.
Well, everyone who I've seen who've read it, who've been talking about it, have said that they loved it, and it was
awesome.
Like full-on action-packed from start to finish. So I'm really looking forward to it. I'm not sure when I'm going to get to read it now, but I'll try.
Maybe I need to bump it up on my list.
Well, I've got the hard copy there if you want to borrow it now, because I'm not going to get to it for a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so into February, on the 7th of February, is Neil Gaiman's Norse Mythology.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just a collection of retellings of the Norse myths.
So it's like American Gods, which he wrote, which is an adult novel, which is all about, there's a lot of Norse gods
in it. But this is not a new story. This is just a retelling of the original.
Yes, okay.
Sounds like Loki and Thor and all that.
Yes.
Odin and all that kind of guys.
I haven't actually read any of it yet, but I do have it there. I'll be trying to read it soon. It's got a beautiful cover.
Is it? Yeah, I was about to say, is it hardcover with illustrations like he did those fairy tales, or is it not that sort of style?
I'll show you it, but no, it's paperback, and it's got this beautiful picture of Thor's hammer on the front.
Oh, lovely. Really cool.
So I'm looking forward to that.
Very good. Okay, and so the next one is another one that I have definitely got on my to-read list, and I'm assuming you would have it on yours as well, yes. And that's Empress of a Thousand Skies by Rhoda Beleza. I'm not too sure if that's how you pronounce her name. Mm-hmm. Now, I can't 100% remember what it was about, but I think it's like a science fiction, but it's like mixing science fiction and fantasy. I think there's like a magical element. I got the impression, but I don't actually know if that's the case.
It says something in the blurb there about the dashing star of a drone vision show. So I'm guessing there is some high sci-fi element.
I'm sure there's some science fiction. Yeah, it's definitely some science fiction.
Okay, let's read the blurb. Rhee, also known as Crown Princess Rhiannon Tarn, is the sole surviving heir to a powerful dynasty. She'll stop at nothing to avenge her family and claim her throne. Ali has risen above his war refugee origins to find fame as the dashing star of a drone vision show. But when he's falsely accused of killing Rhee, he's forced to prove his innocence to save his reputation and his life. With planets on the brink of war, Rhee and Ali are thrown together to confront a ruthless evil that threatens the fate of the entire galaxy.
Mm.
So, yeah, it sounds like kind of a space opera fantasy type.
Just something to look at Goodreads. It seems to be, most people seem to be putting it in the science fiction space category, but some have put it in as fantasy, so...
Okay.
I don't know if there's a fantasy element or not. I still thought it sounded good. I like the idea of this drone vision. Like, I don't know what that is. Yeah. It's making me think of Black Mirror, which you haven't watched yet, have you?
No, I haven't.
Netflix. Amazing. Amazing. Just putting that out there. List. Yes.
So that's Empress of a Thousand Skies.
And that's 7th of Feb as well, isn't it? Yeah.
Yep.
And then after that, we've got down on the 21st of Feb, A Conjuring of Light, which is the third book in the V.E. Schwab Shades of Magic series. So we did a joint review of the first book of that.
Darker Shade of Magic.
Yeah, Darker Shade of Magic. Yep. I don't know if you ever read the second one.
No, I have it. I do have it. But no, I haven't read it yet.
I got about 30% through, and I have to admit I put it away for a bit because, look, it's a really great idea for a series, but I just didn't love it the way
there's a lot of other people that rave about it. Yeah.
But it's kind of in that same boat to me as Passenger, and this is what I'm a bit worried about with Wayfarer, because I liked it, but I don't know. Sometimes I think people just like the book covers and they're really pretty to photograph, and that's why they get the attention.
All right.
That could be being a bit harsh. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe it's just... I mean, Victoria Schwab has written a lot of books now.
Yeah, and they do well.
Yeah, so you'd think by this stage she would have, like, you know, a good flow to the story. But I thought the first one was pretty good. I enjoyed the first, if I remember correctly. So I don't know.
Liked it. I just didn't love it. I don't know. I don't know if there's enough. I don't know. I think when things get too negative, I don't know, all these fantastical worlds when they're all actually bad, I think sometimes I just get a bit turned off by all the negativity. I don't know, and maybe I'm just remembering it wrongly.
It had a really great...
I didn't like the white London or whatever. I thought that was all really disappointing.
Okay. I thought it had a really good climax, like the ending was really awesome.
Okay.
I don't know, it's been a long time
since I'm going to pick it back up. Maybe I'll like it more second time round.
Okay.
There's a few of these really popular series that I'm like, I didn't see it. The Red Queen was another one that everyone loved, and I'm like, I just wasn't that fussed. I feel like I should reread it in case I just missed something and it wasn't in the right frame of mind. Anyway.
Okay, so the last one for February is on the 21st as well.
Yeah.
Why do they always come out on the same days? Like, it's like a Thursday or
yeah, it's like the movie. There's always release days per week. Yeah.
Anyway, Long May She Reign by Rhiannon Thomas. So you've already read this one as well.
I have. I read a review copy of this one because it was billed as being like a girl of Fire and Thorns meets the Queen of the Teeling. Now, I love the Teeling series.
Yep.
So that was kind of, I was like, ooh, this sounds kind of intriguing and interesting. It's not a bad debut novel, don't get me wrong. I just think it could have been. I'm positive Rhiannon Thomas. Is she not a debut? Maybe is she a debut YA writer?
She wrote A Wicked Thing
Okay. Which that was a Sleeping Beauty story, which I quite liked.
A duology? No.
If it was, I never realised because I never read the second.
Well, it looks like it only came out last year.
There you go. I didn't realise there was a second one. It wrapped itself up, A Wicked Thing, as a standalone. Oh, okay. So all right. That was fine.
Well, apparently this one, this...
This Long May She Rain.
Also a standalone?
No. I don't think it's a standalone. Oh, gosh, I didn't feel like it was a standalone. You probably could summarise it, but there was enough of a world that you could have kept going. Do you know what I mean? Like,
maybe she might.
She
write some more.
I really liked that the main character was a scientist, wasn't interested in court intrigue, but I felt that it really there's enough really good TV and enough really good novels out there that really show the cutthroat political side of court intrigue.
Right.
And this glamorized and just fluffed over a lot of it. And I get that it's a short page number, but it just dismissed a lot of that richness and reality. There wasn't enough world building for you. No, I thought it was all a bit too easy. I really don't believe that that's a standalone, though I guess you could read it.
Just what it said.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought it was a standalone because there were things that were sort of left that could be done. What I did enjoy about it is it's not really a large love story or anything like that. It really is about her coming to power.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, I don't know. I'm sure it'll be popular. I just don't think it's... It could have been better. It needed more complicated political intrigue for the storyline, I thought. It was all a bit too simplistic. If
it didn't have any romance going for it, then it needed a bit more of a...
Yeah, that's what I think anyway. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, we're on to March.
You want to talk about this? Beauty and the Beast?
Yes, the Beauty and the Beast Disney live action is coming out on the 17th.
Yes.
Which I am so excited about. I am not taking my children to see it. I am going to see it so I can actually immerse myself in this wonderful, wonderful world.
Yes.
I think
we should go on opening night.
Oh, definitely. Now, they've released some... Emma Watson as Belle singing some of the songs.
Yeah. I was a bit worried.
The trailer one didn't come off brilliantly, which is my favorite, which is the reprise of the...
Yeah.
I can't tell you the name of the song, but the reprise where she's talking about all the adventure that she wants that I love. And I think I made you stitch into an episode at one point or I talked about it. That's in the third trailer that they just recently released. It didn't sound great, but you can actually hear the entire song and the tone is much better. And she actually has a brilliant voice. It's up there with the original movie.
Yeah, the problem with trailers is that it's not the final cut of the movie, obviously. It's just a trailer. So they'll do all the sound editing and whatever before they release the movie, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So in the actual movie, it'll probably be a lot better.
I think so. I think it will be too. And I've got goosebumps thinking about it. It's going to be great. Look, it just will be. It's like one of the most watched trailers on the internet at the moment. Okay. So there you go. There's a lot of diehard Belle fans.
I still haven't seen you're one of the greatest diehard fans, I think. I still haven't seen the live action Cinderella.
Really?
Yeah, she watched that sometime. Did
you not come? Because we took the kids. I thought you were there. Maybe
no,
not.
No, we weren't there.
Oh, it's on Netflix. You should definitely watch it.
Okay.
Yeah. I love it because it's got Rod Stark as the prince. And I'm like, oh, you're so dreamy.
Anyway, come here, I can stab you in the back.
Yeah, and it's got one of the characters from Downton Abbey is the girl too. So she's not a major Downton Abbey character, but she is in the later seasons. That's Cinderella. I actually quite liked it.
Hmm.
I thought it was beautifully filmed. It still is a simplistic Disney story, really.
Yeah. They're not increasing the complexity of the story. No,
but the reality is, and the problem with Cinderella is, the story is really a 50s story. It's, you know, they meet and they fall in love and there's no reason for them to fall in love. And the good thing about the live action is because it's now been sort of rejigged, they try to give it a bit more of a, not just love at first sight, which today's audience doesn't really buy.
Yep.
Anyway. So there you go.
Okay.
So what is after that?
I'll talk about this
because you've read Rebel of the Sands.
Yep. So next on the list we've got the couple of books coming out on the 7th of March. We've got Traitor to the Throne, which is the sequel to Rebel of the Sands by Alwyn Hamilton. And I read Rebel of the Sands and I really, really loved it. I think I gave it 5 stars. It's like this gunslinging girl from the desert who...
It's like Aladdin period though, isn't it? Like there's genies and things
like
that?
Yeah, there's magic, desert magic, like Arabian kind of magic stuff, but also a rebellion against the sort of ruling... I can't remember if it's a king or a sultan or what, but I need to reread a bit of Rebel of the Sands actually just to... get my head back around the characters. But yeah, really, it was a very short book, I remember that, but it packed a punch. I really enjoyed it, so I'm looking forward to Traitor to the Throne.
You want not too many pages in a YA, but it really packs a good story,
like really fast paced kind of action.
I promised myself I'm reading that before uni goes back, because it's I actually started it and then I thought I only read a couple of pages and I was like, no, I'll do Wayfarer after seeing all the pretty covers, so it got bumped, but it's up there because I want to have it fresh for when the next one comes out, because I feel like I've missed out because everybody seems to love it.
And then also on the 7th, we have The Song Rising, which is the third book in the Bone Season trilogy by Samantha Shannon. Now, we are actually Bone Season advocates. I don't know if you know about this.
I didn't. Okay, maybe I should rethink about how I was about to start
So on Tear the Treetops, we are a Bone Season advocate. So coming up to the release of this Song Rising, you'll see some more things on the blog about all of the Bone Season series. At the moment in the Goodreads group for Bone Season, there's a read-along going on of the first two books. So they're doing Bone Season still at the moment, and then they're going on to Mime Order before The Song Rising is released. So if you haven't read any of them, now's a great time to start. They're like a sort of like a alternate present, so like a... alien invasion kind of...
It's a bit of a slightly dystopian future because the technology is a bit better, but then there's also this
so these alien these angel these extra things. I think they're called Rephaim, like in the Paul Weston thing. And they have taken over and there's like a rebellion to try... Like there's
an evil overlords.
Yep, and there's also this underground movement in London of people who have psychic abilities and that kind of thing. And
But they're downtrodden.
Yeah, it's an underclass, basically.
It is.
And I seem to remember that this second book was really slow through most of it, and then the ending was awesome, and it had like a really big cliffhanger.
I got to about 40%. I need to reread it. But that was audiobook, and these are long audiobooks, and I was like, I can't do...
It's so slow, and it would have been slower.
Everything's down all the time. And I'm sure that at some point things turn, but it was really hard to listen to it.
Yeah, okay.
So I might have to retry it maybe as a written book.
Yeah,
because I know you've got them. Maybe I'll have to pinch one.
I don't know if I have the second one. I think I had it on my Kindle.
The first one. Okay.
I should get a copy. That's all right. I've got a copy of the third one to read that's in the new covers. I don't know if you've seen the new covers. So maybe I'll try and get a copy of the second one in the new shiny cover.
Yeah.
So
it was well written. There was never any doubt about that. It's excellent, very well written. Story. But that made some of the hard stuff hard to read. Like, is this actually YA? It's got to be. It's got to be marketed in that blend between YA and adult, because it's right at the upper end. They must be like late teens,
there's
early 20s.
There's no sex in it. But I'm pretty sure it's more mature.
It's a mature book in comparison to a lot of the YA books.
I'm pretty sure the original book was not marketed as YA. It was like actually in the adult section.
Yeah.
But anyway, great series, and you'll be hearing more about that soon. I really need to read it. I need to reread Mime Order, especially.
Okay. So after that, we've got on the 14th of March, Hunted by Megan Spooner, which is a Beauty and the Beast retelling. Now, this is on my upcoming reads list too. I've got that there to read because I got a review copy of that. I'm really looking forward to it, probably because it's a Beauty and the Beast retelling. Now, I tried Megan Spooner's very first debut novel and I wasn't that impressed.
But she wrote the These Broken Stars.
Yes, that's right. And that was much improved. And I'm like, she's got a few books behind her now. I'm ready. I'm ready for another standalone Megan Spooner, and I'll have high expectations. It sounds great.
Yep, it does look good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then we have the 17th, we have Lifeblood by Gina Shoalwater. So this is a sequel to First Life, which came out last year around this time. And it's basically a dystopia.
Yeah, it is a dystopian because I did start it, but I just got into uni. The audiobook expired because I had borrowed it.
Yeah.
So I didn't get a chance, and it had so many people queued for it. I just haven't had a chance to read it again because I thought this one sounded really interesting. Yep. And Gina Showalter is a major romance writer. She's written bucket loads and bucket loads of books. I've never read her before, but I know my sister, who is an avid romance reader, has read a lot of her stuff.
Okay.
So I was really keen to read it for that reason. I'm going to have to try and make sure I get a chance to before the second one comes out. The covers are amazing too.
Yeah, they are. There's a beautiful hourglass on there. Yeah, I do have a copy of First Life on my shelf over there, so yeah. I'll give it a go at some stage.
I'm guessing there'll be some good romance. You would hope that there was some good romance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, and I think we're both super excited for the next one, aren't we?
Yes.
Which is coming out 28th of March, finally, after being postponed, and that's Strange the Dreamer by Lainey Taylor. Now, I don't think there was any Lainey Taylor fandom in our little short clips,
no,
but we certainly in our earlier podcasts, because
we did a joint review of at least one of them.
Oh, we were still very, very into A Daughter of Smoke and Bone trilogy, I think, when we started these podcasts. And that is still an amazing series.
Yep.
So,
one of my favourites.
And meeting, she was lovely. We met her
at
the Brisbane Writers Festival, and she was here 1 year. I'm very much looking forward to this. The cover of the book is amazing as well.
Yep. And I'm still have no idea what it's about.
I actually don't want to know what it's about.
No, me either.
Because
I'm trying not to read
in
any reviews or
totally
anything.
Totally and utterly fresh.
Yep.
With no expectations. Because there was nothing like reading that Daughter of Smoke and Bone, and halfway through the book just turns upside down, and you're like, oh my goodness, what have I gotten into?
Yeah, that's
and
right.
I love that. I know a lot of people were a bit funny, or some people were a bit funny about that, didn't like the second part of the story, whatever, but
yep.
I want to go in with that same no knowledge of any twists or turns or, you know, preconceived ideas.
Absolutely.
Excited.
So we've only got 2 months to wait.
I know. It's going to be right smack bang when uni started, and I'll probably have assignments up to my eyeballs, which is devastating. Anyway,
well, I'll cross that bridge when I get to it. At some point.
Yes.
You can listen to it in the car.
That's right.
And the last one for March is also on the 28th, is A Crown of Wishes by Roshni Chokshi, sequel to The Star-Touched Queen.
Mm-hmm.
Star-Touched Queen is more or less a standalone, but the story continues. And this second book is from Gowrie's point of view, who is the younger girl who... Oh, it's difficult to explain, but... So it's from a different point of view in a different section of the story.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I really enjoyed Star-Touched Queen. There were things about it that were a bit... I don't know, I didn't like as much as I hoped, but overall it's a really great story. So yeah, I'll be looking forward to this second one.
You've lent me the first one. It's sitting on my bedside table.
You've got a bit of a
till March, because then I've got the sequel. I don't want it to be... I've been screwed a few times where I've thought the sequel was about to come out, read a book, and then found out I was way off.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice to be able to read them in a row. Let's be real.
It's got a bit of a Court of Mist and Fury vibe to it, but not... Like, the romance is not that great, but...
Okay.
But the kind of feel of the story is a bit like that.
Okay.
Let's move on. April. Wow, we're already in April.
There's not that many in there.
There aren't many in April because they're all coming out in May.
And January are the main months I feel that books get released for some bizarre reason. I have no idea why. I know why
May,
September is.
May
but...
is for the summer readers
okay.
in the States.
Is that what it is?
So... For us, obviously, it's the winter reading, which is good as well.
Yes.
But anyway, April. So this has been pushed back a number of times, and I'm really hoping that this is the final date now. But The Thorn of Emberlane, which is the fourth book in Scott Lynch's Gentleman Bastard series, which started with The Lies of Lachlan Mora, which was one of my favourites the last few years.
Yes.
I love that. Really funny, very gritty adult fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
They're all quite long, but they're
that's good because they're so awesome.
Yep.
And lots of swearing, lots of just awesome insults, and I just loved it. So I'm really looking forward to The Thorn of Emberlane. I really hope it is actually coming out in April.
Yeah.
I can grab a copy. Read the other ones.
I will one day. The fact that there are three already, that makes it harder for me to get into. Do you know what I mean?
No, they're worth it. They're
just okay. Really, now the next one, I think you've already read, haven't you? Is this Given to the Sea?
No, that was a different one that I read.
Something else with the sea in it that you've read recently.
It's called To the Sea.
Oh, okay, sorry. Okay. So the next one is Given to the Sea by Mindy McGuinness. I actually don't know anything about this book. You've popped that on there. All I can see is what you've written as a little note, which says human sacrifices to the sea. That sounds pretty scary, to be completely honest. But
yeah.
Yes. Is it a YA?
I'm not sure.
Human sacrifices. I don't know if that's just your words and it sounds a little bit more.
I'm not sure if it's YA, but I read about it already. It says that the world is really detailed, and it's quite a dark story. Obviously, you can tell by the sacrifice part. But look, people who've read it already have raved about it, so might give it a go, see how we go.
There we go.
Have a look at it, see if you want to add it to your list.
Okay. Sorry, I'm just seeing visions of people just being thrown into the ocean, torpedoes the ocean. Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
Okay.
So I'm not sure about that.
Okay. Ships being drowned and things like that.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Okay. All right. So the next one, I Am Behind in this series, which is a bit sad because I never read book three, or I haven't read book three yet. And that's the 25th of April, and that's Legion, which is in the Talon series by Julie Kagawa. And there's still one more to come after this. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. Excellent. So I quite like the first two. There's no reason I haven't read the third one other than that time is an issue.
Yes.
The third one was dragons. Good. There's dragons and St. George.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
The concept of it is awesome.
It is.
I seem to remember that in the third book I felt that it was dragging on a bit too much. It wasn't. It was still sort of high paced, but I didn't think it needed to be five books.
Okay.
So we'll see how the fourth book goes. I'll still read it. It has a really weird love triangle in it. The dragon.
Yes, the dragon side and the human. Yeah, they have different love interests. I don't know how you're ever going to get around that one.
Yep. So I need to keep reading to find out how that gets resolved.
Do.
Okay. Tell us what's in May.
Okay. So there's no date next to it, but that's okay.
I don't think there is an actual date.
We're super excited. And that is A Court of Wings and Ruin by Sarah J. Maas.
Yes.
So the third one in the series. If you've listened to any of our episodes, there's a very good chance that for 90% of them, we have raved about one Sarah J. Maas book or another. They really are amazing, except for your disinterest in A Court of Thorns and Roses.
Yeah.
Overall, we have both been super hooked.
Yep. Can't wait.
Yeah. In that little clip, you heard about my slight obsession with book two. I did not go back and reread them. I've held off.
Okay,
so
right, okay.
That will be for March and April. I will reread the first two.
Yep.
Ready?
I probably will be as well.
Because it ended on a big cliffhanger.
It did, yep.
And I really, really want to know how it's all going to go.
So we've still got to wait till May, though.
I know.
It's quite a long way off.
Hey, look, I'm glad that we went through this, though, because I was tempted to reread it again now while I had the time. But I'm like, no, it's too early. It's too early. I will wait.
Okay, good. Well, yes. You'll hear more about that. I'm sure we'll be raving about it sooner or later.
Yeah.
And on the 9th of May, we also have the third book in the Fitz and the Fool trilogy by Robin Hobb, which is going to be called Assassin's Fate. The first two books in this trilogy were massive bricks and they were awesome. And
is his life improved from the very first trilogy? Because Fitz has just had a horrible life, let's be real.
Yes, yeah, and yeah.
I couldn't do the new series.
Robin Hobb's punching bag.
Oh my God.
But
yes.
Basically, the second book in that trilogy finished on a massive cliffhanger where everything is kind of has gone wrong. So I'm really looking forward. This has actually been more than a year. I think maybe a year and a half or something or more.
That's since pretty the last good one came though out. For those epic fantasy writers. They do have a tendency to take a long time.
That's right.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how that one turns out. I'm assuming it'll be the end of that particular story.
Yep.
She tends to write things in trilogies. So. Yeah.
There we go. All right. So after that, we have on the 16th of March, The Flame in the Mist by Renee Adia. So this is a new series, is it? Yep. So that means The
Wrath and the Dawn.
And The Rose and the Dagger. That's a duology, was it? Okay, because I'm halfway through Wrath and...
How many books are you reading at the moment?
No, my problem is I put quite a few aside during exams and I never had a chance to sort of get into it again. And I borrow a lot of these on audiobook. Then the audiobook expires and it's like, oh... I'm not going to borrow it again until I've actually got the time to fully listen to it. I actually think that I read the first one, The Wrath and the Dawn, and it was excellent. Actually, no, I didn't. I audiobooked it and read it. I did. I was so hooked on it. I was doing both. I loved
the first one too. I haven't read the second one yet.
I was getting a bit lost, but I think I was just in the middle of placement or exams or whatever it was.
Yep.
So I want to... Do it, but do it from the beginning.
Yeah, okay.
Now I know that that's the end. I thought there was still another one, but obviously not.
No, this is a new series. So it involves samurai, alchemists, political marriage.
Yep.
So I'm just reading through the blurb briefly. So, yeah, it sounds like a bit of Japanese influence and...
very cool.
Sounds pretty awesome.
Because the love story in The Wrath and the Dawn...
Yeah.
I don't know how she managed to turn that into an awesome love story, considering the initial premise. It shouldn't have been an awesome love story.
Yeah, 1001 Nights is like...
She sold that on me, though. She sold that romance and that love on me. And I was like at the beginning when I read the blurb, Stockholm Syndrome. But it wasn't. It wasn't. It was great. But
I really enjoyed that.
I'm hoping that this one's got a really good romance or storyline. It does sound very good.
So then also on the 16th of May, they all seem to come out around then.
Yep.
The second book in Riders series by Veronica Rossi, which started with Riders. Yeah.
Yes.
And the second one's called Seeker. So this is the Horseman of the Apocalypse
story. Such a great idea.
The main character in the first book was War. And I just love that one. It was just funny and just a really neat idea.
All the characters are male, hey?
No, there's a couple of girls.
But like the main characters.
Yeah, the four horsemen are
all guys. Are all
blokes, yeah.
Yeah.
But the second book is from the girl's point of view, the seeker.
She's okay. Like,
she brought them all together and has to find some kind of thing. It's going to be weird reading it now because now that I've watched all this Supernatural, I've got a lot more of the Judeo-Christian kind of story in my brain now. So okay. when I see stuff like this, I'm like, oh, she's going to find an artifact and it's going to be cursed. And I'm like, oh, hang on, no, I'm putting Supernatural in my brain again. but anyway, I'm looking forward to this story continuing because I really enjoyed Veronica Rossi's first series. And that was
I wasn't a big fan of
Sky
it. I was alone in that, not being a big fan, I feel as well. What's Through called? The Night or something.
Into the Blue was the last one. Into the Never Not? Under the Never Sky.
Yeah. I only read the first one and I was like, yeah, that didn't do it for me. But everybody else loved it. It just got
better and better. By the end of that trilogy, I was like, is this going to end? I don't want it to end. I'm so good. Maybe I
should give it another go at some point. Along with every other book that I keep saying. I don't have enough time to read everything.
Well, I'll keep going with this writer's series and see how it keeps going.
Oh, I've got a copy of the first one and I haven't had a chance to read it. It did sound like a very good idea.
Yeah, it's cool. It's good.
For a story.
I enjoyed it.
All right. And then also on the 16th, we've got The Crown's Fate, which is a sequel to The Crown's Game by Evelyn Skye. So we read The Crown's Game and I think we both really quite enjoyed it. It's another kind of night circus competition idea, but sort of imperialist Russia with magic, so it was kind of
and it had quite cool. Some beautiful magical kind of things.
It did have some gorgeous ideas and the writing was really lovely, so I'm hoping that second one is equally as good.
It feels like it's been so long since the first one, but it can't have been.
I feel like the first one only came out in September, so I didn't feel it had been that long.
We read it,
but it came out earlier. Okay,
anyway. Okay, so the 24th of May is when the as-yet-untitled novella from Sarah J. Maas will be coming out, which is telling the story of Kale in the Southern Continent.
So this is to appease everybody that was devastated that there was no Kale?
Well, didn't she say around the time that, that book five was released, she said that that she felt that Cale deserved his own story or something. So she's put all the bits of him from the book into a novella instead of putting it in book five.
Okay.
Which is fine because I guess he's in a very separate place at the moment and doing his own thing.
We didn't need... He would have detracted from that story, I think.
Yeah, I think so. If they kept jumping.
Yeah.
They were already jumping to, like, Manon and those guys. So yes. I think that to jump to another point of view would have been a bit jarring.
Yes.
So as devastated as I was that Cale was not in that book, I am looking forward to his novella to find out what happens.
Okay. So I added an extra book to the list because I thought this sounded really intriguing, and it's called Dark Breaks the Dawn by Sarah B. Larson. Now, I didn't read her first series. This is her second. The first series, I think, started with Defy. They looked great. Okay. They had some awesome fantasy-style covers. Now, I felt that this book looked like it could possibly be loosely based on Swan Lake. No idea if that's actually the case, but I read the blurb and went, this has got a Swan Lake vibe to it. I reckon that could be inspiration for it. It's a duology. I don't know. Okay. I thought that sounded quite interesting. The first series, I know we both missed it, but they got good reviews. So I think we just, there's only so much you can read. You can't read every It series, can you?
That's right.
So coming up to June, on the 6th of June, there's a book which I think sounds quite interesting. I've actually got a review copy for it. That's Dividing Eden by Joelle Chabanneau. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. Now, the cover I thought was fantastic, this black and white throne. I'm just going to read the synopsis. That probably is easier. So twins Karis and Andreas were never destined to rule Eden. With their older brother next in line to inherit the throne, the future of the kingdom was secure. But appearances and rivals can be deceiving. When Eden's king and crown prince are killed by assassins, Eden desperately needs a monarch, but the line of succession is no longer clear. With the ruling council scheming to gain power, Karis and Andreas are faced with only one option, to take part in a trial of succession that will determine which one of them is worthy of ruling the kingdom. As sister and brother, Karis and Andreas have always kept each other safe from their secrets from the court and from the monsters lurking in the mountains beyond the kingdom's wall. But the trial of succession will test the bonds and trust and family. With their country and their hearts divided, they will discover exactly what each will do to win the crown and how long before suspicion takes hold and the thirst for power leads to the ultimate betrayal. So it's kind of got that night circus, crowns game.
Yep.
But, oh yeah, and Three Dark Crowns sort of feel.
Yeah.
But the difference, I guess, in this is they've known each other and never expected to it. So it's going to be, I think, a little bit more of a sucker punch if one of them is a betrayer. Right. I thought that sounded good. This isn't her first series either. She wrote another sort of science fiction series that I never read, but I think, again, did quite well.
Then on the 13th of June, we have Our Dark Duet, which is the second book after This Savage Song,
which I haven't read.
Victoria Schwab. No, I haven't either, but I have it on order at the library. I've said to myself at the start of this year, I'm going to stop borrowing books from the library because I have too much to.
You've done nothing but borrow books, because I've seen quite a few Instagram photos of your borrowed books.
Yeah, I know. Well, I was going to buy it and then I thought, I can't afford to buy all these books, so I just went to the library.
I've got an e-book of The Savage Song.
Well, it looks awesome, and so this is the sequel. It's out in the middle of June, so
is it a duology, a way off, or is it a trilogy?
I don't know.
Okay,
it might end up being a series. I'm not really sure.
Duologies seem to be a big thing at the moment.
They are, and they're not particularly long books either, which is anyway, we've got a few listed that are later in the year,
but we haven't got dates or anything for these, do we?
No, I don't know when they're going to be.
Yep. So it's going to be the final book in Throne of Glass series. Is there a title for it yet?
No.
Can't believe we're up to the end of Throne of Glass. What are we going to do? That's going to be a major series hangover.
If it's not like over 1,000 pages long, I'm going to be disappointed. So much still to happen.
I'm sure it will be. But she brought it all together so well at the end of that last book. Oh, look, let's be real. She brings it together at the end of every book, just leaving just enough to make us go, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's September. So it's still September
sometime, okay. Yeah. And then there's also Never Night, the second Never Night, God's Grave.
Yep.
By Jay Kristoff. So we both read the first book.
Yeah, that was good.
It was good. So she's going to be back in God's Grave, is my guess, for the second, seeing it's titled God's Grave. Or stuff is going to be happening to get that back in line.
Yeah, I have to reread the end of the first book because I can't remember in my head where everyone ended up. So
okay.
I'll do that before. Well, that's not there until was a September.
Major, no, we've got plenty of time. There was major betrayals at the end of
I remember that book,
That was good. And then I'm kind of excited because the third Illuminae book is coming out also in October. Now, I haven't started Illuminae yet. And I'm just going to put another dig on this. This is predominantly because I have to mainly, throughout the year, audiobook. Even though it is written by Australian authors, the audiobooks are not available in Australia. They are only available in other countries. Thankfully, Audible has finally decided at the end of January to make Illuminae available, which won awards apparently for its voice cast and everything.
Yeah,
so
it's like a full cast
I have
one.
Pre-ordered that Audible book.
Okay.
And I will finally get to start it, though I might not rush if it's not coming out till like the end of the year because I don't want to get totally hooked and then...
Yeah, I don't know if it's only going to be a trilogy. It might be more than that.
Well, I still would prefer to read it closer.
Yeah, okay.
Closer
and you can continue the story.
Maybe that will be a June, July holiday book binge.
But you should try and read the paper version as well.
I have
it. Because it's got lots of graphics in it and stuff. It's really cool.
I wish I had one of those.
Design.
One of the advanced copies, which apparently had all the actual swear words that they originally put in. Remember?
Yeah, but
it
didn't have all of the graphics in it.
Oh, okay. All right.
So a lot of those only came out.
Final copy, so...
Yeah.
In either case, I'm going to read that series. I've been wanting to read it for a while. It's going to happen eventually.
Good.
I'm excited.
So I found out that in November, Marissa Meyer has a new series coming out, or a new book, and it's called The Gatlin School for Vigilantes.
Yep.
We
have to talk about Heartless soon too.
Yes, we will. Let's do that.
Talking about Marissa Meyer.
So this sounds like some kind of assassin school type thing. It's YA. I don't know anything else about it.
It'll be great.
It's only just popped up on Goodreads. So anything that Marissa Meyer writes is awesome.
Yes.
So we're happy for that. but that's not until the end of the year.
Yep.
So and then finally on the list, The Winds of Winter. Who knows if that will be coming or not this year. Hopefully it will be.
I wouldn't keep your hopes up.
So this is book six in George R. R. Martin's Game of Thrones.
The more he feels pressure, the less likely it's going to come. That's my thoughts. He's not good with any pressure.
That's right. Well, I'd rather he took the time and got it right.
Okay.
As we said, as Isabel Carmody said to us, she wanted the time to get it just right, and hopefully he'll do the same. So when it comes, we'll read it. I'll read it and...
I won't read it. I'll just wait for it to come into the television show.
Well, we're nearly up to the end of that too.
I know, it's quite
Well, there's
scary.
One more book after The Winds of Winter as well, yeah. Who knows
See,
when that
I
will be.
I might have to read the series when the TV show wraps up and I realise that you tell me there's all this other stuff that was really awesome that didn't make it into the TV series. Because
The Dance with Dragons book was really
they've
good.
They've admitted that they've totally, you know, they've kind of
they've
been left
stuff,
on their own.
Yeah.
They've been given a basic skeleton, but... So, yes, anyway...
I'll tell you how different it is if it comes out, Marie.
Yes.
All right. I think that's everything. So I hope you've added a few to your TBR list.
We've probably missed so many as well.
I know. Well,
but we can't talk about every book that's coming out, right?
Well, I'm sure we will at some stage. But
we'll probably go, how did we miss this? How did we miss this? Where we get something that we absolutely rave about later on in the year.
Well, if you know of any books that we've missed and you want to tell us about them, to get us to read them or whatever.
Slap us around silly and send us
Let
email.
Us know.
Mm-hmm.
Contact at teaintheTreetops.com. Okay,
you
what have we got left?
What we've actually been reading.
Sure.
I've talked about a fair few of the ones that I've read because they came out. They're January books, but what about you? What have you read
late? Okay, so I have finished now watching Supernatural. I am up to date with Supernatural.
That's not a book.
Midway.
That's all
no,
right. This
it's
your
been
book
taking
time.
Into my book reading time. It's halfway through, like almost halfway through season 12. So, and the new episodes come out next week on the TV. So
of Supernatural. So you mean the show hasn't finished forever? There's still
No, it's still going.
I thought it actually had been finished up and wrapped up forever. Oh,
no.
So you're going to be back into it soon.
No, it's just once a week, so it's not going to be like binge watching like a
happy. So tell me, how many months did it take you to watch the 12-ish seasons or whatever it was in total?
I started in October.
And we're now mid-January, end of January.
So about 2.5 months.
Oh my goodness. That is
maybe 3 months
intense.
Ish. So yeah, that's like
how many
230 hours? Episodes or something.
230 episodes you yeah. spent, and that's the yeah. hour long episodes.
Yeah. No, they're 40 minutes.
Okay.
But still, yeah.
That's a little bit better. Okay.
It's I've just I
that
haven't
was
seen,
a solid
I,
effort.
I basically
Addie.
Haven't seen my husband for like 2.5 months because I've been like, okay, I'm going to watch some Supernatural now. No, that's not true. But I just loved it. It was just great.
Okay.
It was right up my alley. I just loved everything about it. And
I'm too scared to watch an episode again now because I can't afford for 230 hours of my life to disappear.
No, well, you might not love it as much as I do. There are a lot of episodes in there that are a bit cheesy, a bit sort of meta, and you're watching it going, oh my God, I can't believe they actually did this. But the great thing about it is the writers or the obviously someone came up with an idea and they went, hey, what if we did this? And everyone went, are you kidding me? But then the writers actually turn it into a really good story. By the end, they turn around and you're actually hooked by the end of the episode. So anyway, Supernatural, I'm done. So after I finished watching Supernatural, I went, oh, I need something to watch. What am I going to watch? And I noticed...
Because you haven't watched enough television over the last
couple
of months.
I started watching A Series of Unfortunate Events.
Oh.
Which is has
Neil
just
Patrick Harris.
Yeah, it's just come out. The full series came out a couple of weeks ago, and I watched the first two episodes, and I thought, oh my God, I think I need to read the book first because it was great.
The books are meant to be fantastic. I've never read them. I figured I'd wait and I'd read them with Caitlin when she was a tiny bit older.
Yep. So anyway, I do have the first two books there on the shelf, so I grabbed the first one and read it in one day because it's quite short.
Yeah, they are kids' books. Yeah,
and the series is really faithful to the book. It's basically exactly the same story. They've changed bits of it, obviously, that they couldn't do very well on the TV. And they've also kind of modernized it a little bit so that it makes more sense with the modern kind of watches. But it's really good. And Neil
Excellent.
Patrick Harris is fantastic.
Of course he would be.
And he's actually the director, so... Like, he's obviously got his stamp on the whole thing.
He's got kids now, so he's probably... I mean, they're a bit young for this, but he's probably like, what's something that I'm going to be able to do for my kids that they'll like in a little bit of time? And that's good because the movie was apparently given a bit of a flop.
Oh, I didn't realise there was a movie.
Yeah, there is a movie of the first one.
Okay.
I have watched it. It's got... Jim Carrey plays Carrot Olaf or whatever his name is.
Okay, all right.
A lot of people were a bit disappointed with it, though. So I think that's probably why they've stuck very true to the books, because they don't want to lose the fans. It's a second time attempt. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
So they've got to do it right.
Well, it's almost word for word.
Okay. This looked a bit darker, I thought, to the movie.
It is quite dark. It is, quite dark. And the reason I hadn't read it before was because I thought it sounded really dark, like these kids are being basically abused.
But
it's not. It's lighthearted, like the actual...
Yeah.
It's
very
funny.
Quirky.
Yeah,
from
really
what
quirky.
I could tell,
and
it
is dark, but it's fun. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to bother reading any more books because I'm I don't have the time to read all of the books. But
because you're too busy watching all the TV.
Yeah, basically. but I'm going to keep watching the series when I get a chance.
Okay.
I don't know how many episodes are in the series, but
I don't think there's that many. I think it's like 10, isn't there?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but it's great. So I recommend that.
There you go.
So what I have been reading is I read a book called To the Sea, as I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
By Christine Dibley.
I got mixed up with that other book. Okay.
So this one's like, it's set in Tasmania and in a beach, sort of remote beach with a big house. And it's basically Selkie kind of myths and Irish ancestry. A girl goes missing and this detective is trying to find her and stuff. So... it's quite sort of gentle, but the mystery is really tense. Like, it's gradually revealed as the story goes on. So I recommend that one. It's really good and has got a beautiful cover as well, since we're talking about cover
love
today.
Covers.
And at the moment I'm reading Frost Like Night by Sarah Rasch, which is the third, I think it's the final.
Okay.
Yeah, in that Snow Like Ashes trilogy that you raved about earlier.
I raved
earlier.
About that first book, and then I never read the second book. I have to read this. I think it looks like you liked the second one, didn't you?
Yeah, there are things about the series that I don't like. For instance, the Mira, the main character, talks in first person present tense, and the other characters are in third person past tense.
That's a bit odd.
Which really throws you when you get to a new chapter. You're like, oh, I've got to get my brain back in the...
I'm surprised that got through editing. Anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean, in the second book, it's just Mira and Maitha who have points of view chapters.
Oh, so Maitha, okay, all right.
And then in the third book, you add an extra character as a point of view character. So there's three.
And this is the different courts, right? So there's the winter and the summer and the autumn and it's then there's other things that aren't related to the seasons. There's like seven courts, isn't there?
Yeah, Paisley, Yakim, I can't remember the other ones. Yeah. But they're all different and they've all got their own climates and the magic is like in a conduit type thing that the ruler can use.
Yes, that's right.
When I was listening back to the original Snow Like Ashes one that we did, we did a joint review of it.
And I loved it and you weren't that fast.
Yeah, and I said it was too much like Finnegan of the Rock because it's like a group of exiles who are outside of their kingdom.
Finnegan of the Rock is by far the more exceptional book.
Exactly. I think that's why I didn't like it as much because it reminded me of Finnegan and I was like, this is not as good.
And I hadn't read it then, had I? You must have, that's when you gifted it for me when you were like, you've got to read it. I forced you to read it. But I'm so glad because I've redone them twice. I've read them and I've audio. I need to read them again. Oh, they're brilliant.
Yes. Well, anyway, I'm halfway through, partway through that and it's good. So... Excellent. Keep going. I'm enjoying it. And after that, I really want to read Lady Helen and Dark Days Pact.
Yes. I might see if I can get a copy of that. I'll see how I go with Wayfarer. If it's not intriguing me that much, I might ditch it. And... Unfortunately, there's just too many books. It doesn't actually take that much for me to ditch a book these days. I feel like a lot, I get to about 30% and I'm like, it's taking way too long. And some I pick up again and some I don't pick up again. Yeah. Mm.
Too much going on.
Well, I've already talked about most of the ones. So I read Long May She Reign already, which we talked about. Red Wind Witch. I don't normally read this much. This is the wonderful thing about you're on holidays. I finally finished The Girl from Everywhere by Heidi Hellig. I started that before Christmas. I couldn't get that into it. It was an amazing premise.
This is one with maps, right?
Yeah. So basically, it's like they're like on the sea, so they're on a boat and they use maps to get to different places and times. So when the map is drawn, whatever the date is on that map, they go back to that version of the world. Oh, wow. Do you know what I mean? But they have to be handcrafted original maps. So the half of the book is about them trying to get their hands on specific maps. And then it's just got some really great ideas, but it was just the execution wasn't great in the fact that it was hard to get... The main character isn't the most likable. It's not that she's unlikable. She's just boring.
Okay.
The sidekick is much better. He's interesting. No real love or romance in the story, which is actually quite refreshing.
Yeah.
But the idea and the premise is good enough that I think I will read the second one because it's just a great idea. And the end... It's funny, it took me so long to get through that first like 60-odd%, and then the end was just over like that. It was really interesting and things came together quite well. It's not the best book I've ever read, but it had enough promise that I think I'll read the second one. And I just love the whole time travel idea. Yeah. And she's constantly questioning, the whole philosophy behind it is, are these actual real versions of history or are they not? Because is it the map maker's ideal of the world that we're going to? Is it actually real or is it not real? Is it a fantasy place? You just don't, you know, there's never that, you never really know. So I quite like that blend between reality and fantasy.
Might have to give that one
I think
go.
You should, because you are a map maker and I feel that it does pay homage to maps.
Okay.
In their unique forms.
I feel I should read it for...
I'll read the second book and then I'll
enjoyment.
Yeah, well, I've got a physical copy if you want it.
Sure.
And Heartless. I read Heartless. I loved Heartless.
It was great.
Every bit of Heartless. The end, especially.
Yeah.
With the sisters down the well, the treacle well, were just, and they came up with the, I've got goosebumps thinking about it. And I don't want to say too much because I don't want to spoil it.
So Alice in Wonderland, Queen of Hearts, origin story.
That's right. The Queen of Hearts, who is the psycho of Alice in Wonderland. Yeah. And you don't think you could ever see any version of sanity or likability in her.
So this is a story about how she becomes a psycho.
And Marissa Meyer does it brilliantly because she, I was rooting for her.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
I was rooting for
her. It was a great, even though I knew what was going to happen at the end, it was a great romance. It was a bit of a insta-love type deal.
It was insta-love, but it kind of needed to be because it wasn't actually the main part of the story, really. While it did set into the chain of events, you didn't have the time to really...
Yeah, they needed to get together quickly.
Yes. And it still wasn't bad. Like, I still, you know, there were dreams and bits and pieces.
Yeah,
and,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The romance was great, apart from the beginning of it kind of thing.
Yes.
The insta-love bit. But the rest of the romance was very spoony, and she's great at writing that stuff.
She is. And if you just love, like, you don't need to have read Lewis Carroll's original Alice in Wonderland anytime recently. You don't need to have watched a movie of it. If you have at any point been exposed to Alice in Wonderland, you will just see she just manages to add the little tidbits, and it just makes for such a rich and vivid world. Yeah, it's not pushed at any point, and that's what I loved about it. I just loved how we can do the six impossible things before breakfast, like just little quirks, and it's just great because it really builds on then. Like, it made me want to. I wasn't willing to go back and read the original Alice in Wonderland. But I feel like I should go and rewatch the Johnny Depp Alice in Wonderland.
I haven't actually seen that one.
I haven't either. And
I've only seen the cartoon. Like,
I've only seen the Disney cartoon too, but I feel like I should watch a more adult version because that Alice in Wonderland, while it's marketed as a kids film, is actually a serious version of it, not dark. The Disney-ish version. It's a Tim Burton, that's why.
Yep.
So I feel like I should watch that because you like just all the different things, like the pig baby and stuff, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
which is in Alice in Wonderland, you see how it all comes to be.
The croquet and the croquet, the hedgehogs. But I also loved the fact that Kath was a baker and she made all the little cakes and stuff.
I know. I wanted to eat. I wanted to go to bakeries and pick fancy treats.
Lots. I think I said in my review that I wished that there were recipes in the book, like in that Caramel Hearts book that actually has the recipes in it.
Yep.
Yeah, because the little lemon tarts and everything just sounded really awesome. But
they did sound amazing.
Key lime pies.
It sounded great. And you could so see the Knave of Hearts stealing the tarts, which is not part of this story. But you can see why that all leads to Alice in Wonderland.
No, he did steal them at some point.
No, he doesn't. Oh, doesn't. I waited for it the entire book. But that's when she's already in her off with the head craziness of Alice in Wonderland. Right, yep, do you know what I mean?
Mm.
And like Marianne working for the White Rose. I don't know. There was just so many just great little rich parts. It just added to the story without deterring from the fact that this was actually an original story.
Yeah.
And I have goosebumps thinking about it. I loved it. I really did.
I did too.
I'm going to buy a physical copy of the book because I just loved it that much that I want to now own it.
Good. Great. They have a really beautiful hardcover edition
they
of
do.
It. And it's got like...
I don't think I'm getting a hardcover.
Embossed
but they
on
do.
The cover.
It's... Yeah. If you're wanting... And it's a standalone and I just think that's great as well. So if you're looking for a fairly lighthearted, remind you of your childhood...
It's fairly
great
long.
Great story. But it's lighthearted. It's,
like
it's not a heavy book.
Pages.
It goes fast.
Yep.
I strongly recommend that. That's been my favourite of everything I've read so far this year.
Wow, okay, yep.
And I
agree. I gave it 5 stars.
My gut says by the end of the year, it will still be one of my standout favourites.
Yep,
I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Good.
Anyway, there we go.
Anything else that we haven't
mentioned? So what else have we not mentioned? I already spoke about Carver Mark, didn't I? Yes.
Yes.
No, I think I've spoken about everything because I'm really keen. Caravelle is up there. I've pre-ordered the audiobook.
Mm-hmm.
So very keen to get onto that one. That's my main one that I haven't read. Or I'm not in the process of reading, but I'm desperate to get my hand on. And I'm actually at the point where I'm like, I may have built this book up a little bit too much because I'm very worried now. I'm going to be disappointed.
Okay. Well,
do you feel that way about it? Because it does sound pretty good.
Well,
I don't know.
I've seen a lot of people who've been reading like advanced copies and they said they've loved it. So I'm hoping that I also will. But
yes, that's how I feel too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was like a humongous episode
probably.
So I hope we've given you something to read over the next few months.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to send us any feedback or suggestions, you can do that by emailing us contact@teaandthetreetops.com, or you can tweet us at teatreetops or at Oaken Bookcase.
You can also find a list of all the books and other things we've talked about in this episode, as well as all of our book reviews at the Tea in the Treetops blog, teaandthetreetops.com. Thanks so much for listening.
And we'll catch you again soon. Bye.